The Broken Soldier and the Maid of France. The Meeting at the Spring. Long the old Roman road that crosses the rolling hills from the upper waters of the Marne to the Meuse, a soldier of France was passing in the night. In the broader pools of summer moonlight he showed as a hale and husky fellow of about 30 years, with dark hair and eyes and a handsome, downcast face. His uniform was faded and dusty, not a trace of the horizon blue was left, only a gray shadow. He had no knapsack on his back, no gun on his shoulder. Wearily and doggedly he plodded his way, without eyes for the veiled beauty of the sleeping country. The quick, firm military step was gone. He trudged like a tramp, choosing always the darker side of the road. He was a figure of flight, a broken soldier. Presently the road led him into a thick forest of oaks and beeches, and so to the crest of a hill overlooking a long open valley with wooded heights beyond. Below him was the pointed spire of some temple or shrine, lying at the edge of the wood, with no houses near it. Farther down he could see a cluster of white houses with the tower of a church in the center. Other villages were dimly visible up and down the valley on either slope. The cattle were lowing from the barnyards. The cocks crowed for the dawn. Already the moon had sunk behind the western trees. But the valley was still bathed in its misty, vanishing light. Over the eastern ridge the gray glimmer of the little day was rising, faintly tinged with rose. It was time for the broken soldier to seek his covert and rest till night returned. So he stepped aside from the road and found a little dell thick with underwoods, and in it a clear spring gurgling among the ferns and mosses. Around the opening grew wild gooseberries and golden broom and a few tall spires of purple foxglove. He drew off his dusty boots and socks and bathed his feet in a small pool, drying them with fern leaves. Then he took a slice of bread and a piece of cheese from his pocket and made his breakfast. Going to the edge of the thicket, he parted the branches and peered out over the vale. Its eaves sloped gently to the level floor where the river loitered in loops and curves. The sun was just topping the eastern hills, the heads of the trees were dark against a primrose sky. In the fields the hay had been cut and gathered. The aftermath was already greening the moist places. Cattle and sheep sauntered out to pasture. A thin silvery mist floated here and there, spreading in broad sheets over the wet ground and shredding into filmy scarves and ribbons as the breeze caught it among the pollard willows and poplars on the border of the stream. Far away the water glittered where the river made a sudden bend or a long smooth reach. It was like the flashing of distant shields. Overhead a few white clouds climbed up from the north. The rolling ridges, one after another, enfolded the valley as far as I could see, pale green set in dark green, with here and there an arm of forest running down on a sharp promontory to meet and turn the meandering stream. "It must be the valley of the Meuse," said the soldier. "My faith, but France is beautiful and tranquil here." The northerly wind was rising. The clouds climbed more swiftly. The poplars shimmered, the willows glistened, the veils of mist vanished. From very far away there came a rumbling thunder, heavy, insistent, continuous, punctuated with louder crashes. "It is the guns," muttered the soldier, shivering. "It is the guns around Verdun. Those damned Boches." He turned back into the thicket and dropped among the ferns beside the spring. Stretching himself with a gesture of abandon, he pillowed his face on his crossed arms to sleep. A rustling in the bushes roused him. He sprang to his feet quickly. It was a priest, clad in a dusty cassock, his long black beard streaked with gray. He came slowly treading up beside the trickling rivulet, carrying a bag on a stick over his shoulder. "Good morning, my son," he said. "You have chosen a pleasant spot to rest." The soldier, startled, but not forgetting his manners learned from boyhood, stood up and lifted his hand to take off his cap. It was already lying on the ground. "Good morning, father," he answered. "I did not choose the place, but stumbled on it by chance. It is pleasant enough, for I am very tired and have need of sleep." "No doubt," said the priest. "I can see that you look weary, and I beg you to pardon me if I have interrupted your repose. But why do you say you came here by chance? If you are a good Christian, you know that nothing is by chance. All is ordered and designed by Providence." "So they told me in church long ago," said the soldier, coldly, "but now it does not seem so true, at least not with me." The first feeling of friendliness and respect into which he had been surprised was passing. He had fallen back into the mood of his journey, mistrust, secrecy, resentment. The priest caught the tone. His gray eyes under their bushy brows looked kindly but searchingly at the soldier and smiled a little. He set down his bag and leaned on his stick. "Well," he said, "I can tell you one thing, my son. At all events it was not chance that brought me here. I came with a purpose." The soldier started a little, stung by suspicion. "What then?" he cried, roughly, "were you looking for me? What do you know of me?" What is this talk of chance and purpose? Come, come, said the priest, his smile spreading from his eyes to his lips, do not be angry. I assure you that I know nothing of you whatever, not even your name nor why you are here. When I said that I came with a purpose, I meant only that a certain thought, a wish, led me to this spot. Let us sit together a while beside the spring and make better acquaintance. I do not desire it, said the soldier, with a frown. But you will not refuse it? Queried the priest, gently. It is not good to refuse the request of one old enough to be your father. Look, I have here some excellent tobacco and cigarette papers. Let us sit down and smoke together. I will tell you who I am and the purpose that brought me here. The soldier yielded grudgingly, not knowing what else to do. They sat down on a mossy bank beside the spring, and while the blue smoke of their cigarettes went drifting under the little trees, the priest began. My name is Antoine Corsi. I am the Kerr of Darney, a village among the Reaping Hook Hills, a few leagues south from here. For 25 years I have reaped the harvest of heaven in that blessed little field. I am sorry to leave it. But now this war, this great battle for freedom and the life of France, calls me. It is a divine vocation. France has need of all her sons today, even the old ones. I cannot keep the love of God in my heart unless I follow the love of country in my life. My younger brother, who used to be the priest of the next parish to mine, was in the army. He has fallen. I am going to replace him. I am on my way to join the troops, as a chaplain, if they will, if not, then as a private. I must get into the army of France or be left out of the host of heaven. The soldier had turned his face away and was plucking the lobes from a frond of fern. A brave resolve, father, he said, with an ironic note. But you have not yet told me what brings you off your road, to this place. I will tell you, replied the priest, eagerly, it is the love of Jeanne d'Arc, the maid who saved France long ago. You know about her? A little, nodded the soldier. I have learned in the school. She was a famous saint. Not yet a saint,